We're talking today with Elisa Harrison, who's the Senior Vice President for Global Marketing for National Cattlemen's Beef Association. We're here at the 2017 Cattle Industry Convention, Elisa, and you're relatively new back with the cattle industry after being with the industry for a lot of years.
Yeah, I rejoined NCBA in October of 2016. I'd been gone for 15 years, but prior to that, I spent 15 years with the old NCA and then the National Cattlemen's Beef Association, and it was really part of that 1985 Farm Bill implementation of the checkoff, and so was able to work on some of the programs that were checkoff funded then. So I'm just thrilled to be back and being involved in helping to promote beef and how we produce beef in this country.
You were there in that era when we were trying to get our arms around how to keep beef demand from falling any further.
Right. Yeah, I remember when we actually came up with the beef demand index because we didn't even know how to measure it. And so it was really very satisfying to actually see that curve, you know, the decline kind of stabilize and start to go up. But we still have challenges today, even though beef demand is steady and we have a lot more questions from consumers, not only in the U.S. but around the world. A lot of, you know, challenges that beef producers are facing as they're raising their cattle. The demand is still very high, and people still love beef, and they want to eat beef. And I think as we look at how the checkoff is helping to create, giving people permission to eat beef, how can we take that to the next level as we continue to face so many protein challenges and just challenges from other food, items that are out there, and the abundance and the availability of food from around the world. So we're doing great. We've got some great stuff going, but we have continual challenges that the checkoff is trying to face.
As you've come into an era where big, I guess, decisions had to be made regarding budget and the way that you reach a consumer compared to those early days when we talked always about the national TV buy and radio magazines and all those kind of things. And now it's all primarily digital, and it's a very targeted message we're sending out.
Exactly. And when you look at who kind of we're targeting at the consumer level, it really is those millennials, particularly millennial parents, because that part of our economy, they're the biggest sector of our economy today, but more than the baby boomers. And as a baby boomer myself, I never thought that I would see another, you know, category be bigger than the baby boomer. And as millennials continue to age and as they build their families, it really is, that's the market, not only today, but 20 years from now. So that's who we're targeting, and clearly they do everything online. They, you know, 30% of their groceries they buy online. They spend over 50 hours a week online. So if you're not there, you're not reaching a very important target audience. But it's also the use of technology gives us so many more tools to reach them in very creative, provocative ways in order to get their attention. And it's just a lot more flexible than a print newspaper. Now, I'm still a print person. I still, you know, I pick up magazines. I read the newspaper every day. But we have to adjust to the way people want to receive their information today, when they want it, how they want it. And that's what we're doing with the Beef Checkoff.
I know that we've used several tools, as you mentioned. Recipes are still a big item, and have really since almost the internet, the first Beef is What's for Dinner website went up, and also a lot of videos these days.
A lot of videos. In fact, it gives us so many. What our research is telling us is that consumers, especially millennials, they like beef. They have a lot of questions about beef, but even more so than their parents, they just don't know how to cook it. And the best way to do that is through a video, a hands-on how-to video, and you see them. We all see them on the internet. There's a video that shows you how to do every single thing. And we put together, for instance, a video on how to put together your Christmas roast last year. And within 2 weeks, I mean, it had, you know, close to 5 million views. And so that is a low-cost way of getting important information out to consumers about your product, how to produce it, and where it came from.
When think about that consumer today, you mentioned one phrase I think that we've always kind of struggled with, and that is how we give them permission to enjoy beef.
Yeah. Well, I think there's it is different today. I think there's a little bit more acceptance of beef and understanding how it's part of a healthy lifestyle, that that producers are committed to raising wholesome and safe beef in a sustainable way. But consumers today, especially millennials, are questioning more the production practices than maybe, you know, people did 20 years ago. So it's not a matter that they're asking new questions. They just want the information delivered to them in a different way. So, for instance, we're putting together a brand new website that may sound pretty standard, but there are so many properties that we had that were funded by the checkoff. We're putting that all into one kind of new website that includes the production information, the nutrition information, the how-to information, our culinary center. All the recipes are there. So it's kind of this one-stop shopping because they don't differentiate between a recipe or information on the use of water in cattle production, for instance. So all of that is kind of coming together to make them feel good about the food that they buy and the food that they feed to their children. It's not just about the nutritional or the safety of the product anymore, while those are still important, but it's how that product is made. And that's true with any consumer product, any food. And, you know, they want to know where their cars are coming from. They want to know where their clothes are coming from. So we just have to be there with the answers. And the good news is we have the answers and we have a great story to tell. We want to use this technology to reach those consumers of today.
The consumer of today, as you've alluded to, is you know, there's some similarities, but there's some differences as well. It seems that one of the biggest differences is they have this, you know, intense curiosity about where their food is, and all those things that are out there that people are trying to tell them about, natural and gluten free and GMO free or all of these kind of things. Beef is kind of, you know, you're not right in the center of all those things, but part and parcel, you've got to deal with a lot of them too.
Well, we do, and you know, remember this the millennials, the target audience that we're talking about. You know, they've kind of grown up having access to more information than, you know, people have had in the past. So they have they expect and they demand instant answers to a question that they have. It has to be readily available online, and if you can give it to them in a way that's very transparent, because they will know when you're trying to pull the wool over their eyes, then they will be a trusted consumer and trust you and buy your product. And that's what we're trying to do. They have access to so much information. And I think, as you were alluding to, there's so many other people out there on the internet who are maybe saying not so nice things about beef. And we have to work even harder today to make sure that they've got the right information from a very trusted source. That is funded by the Beef Checkoff, and that's what we're trying to do. Issues management, crisis management is still a big core of what we do because people, real things happen, and so we have to respond to that. But also people are making things up, as our new president says, fake news. And so we have to make sure that there's a reasoned set of information out there for consumers to access.
You were part of the industry when we had to deal with BSE. Cow, the Soul, Christmas.
Yeah.
What's different, you know, as far as how we would handle a crisis today versus then?
Well, you know, I was the director of communications at USDA when we got the call that we had our first case of BSE. The good news was that I knew what it was. I knew how to spell it because I had spent 15 years prior to that with NCBA. And I think we handled it pretty well. But even, and that was in 2001, so that was 16 years ago. And the way we communicate has changed so much. I don't know if we could have been as effective with the use of social media today. I don't know if we could have been that quick. We felt we were pretty quick, and I think the secretary made the decision that we needed to announce this, that the information, we weren't going to wait for the confirmation from England, the lab in England, that we were going to go ahead and do it. I think she made that decision at 3:30, and we had a press conference at 5:30. And so we, you know, as the head of communications, I was very proud of that. You know, today, 2 hours is a lifetime. You know, the world can go crazy in 2 hours, and the market can go down and react to rumors. So and that's why we continually work to make sure that we have the tools in place to react immediately, because you don't have 2 hours any longer. So as we work at, as we look at things that could happen and be prepared, we've got a very sophisticated monitoring system set up, you know, in our Denver office. We're constantly looking at the news. We're constantly looking at what people are saying on the internet. Because if something were to happen, it's going to happen somewhere other than Denver. It's going to happen somewhere other than Washington, D.C. Mm-hmm. So we have to have all those two-way, three-way, four-way communications going across. So it would definitely be much more challenging. But that's why with the checkoff we're trying to train as many beef advocates as we can. We've got close to 10,000 now. They're all around the country that can are on that are writing blogs, that are on the internet, that have their followers, and building up our social media network so that we can communicate in an instant, because 2 hours is a luxury that we just don't have today in 2017.
One word you mentioned a moment ago, transparency for consumers. Yeah. How does that relate back? In other words, you represent cattle producers for the National Cattlemen's Beef Association and really through the Beef Checkoff as well, as you work with checkoff funds. How do you get the producer on board? In other words, what do they need to be doing to help the cause of being transparent?
Well, I think it has to understand why the customers today want to know what they're doing on their farms and ranches. And I think a lot of beef producers are great stewards of the land and produce safe and wholesome, safe cattle, or safe beef, and take great care of their animals. And that's just part of what they do. I don't think they fully understand that they need to communicate that to the consumer. And so we've got a new image campaign that we're going to be launching this year to help them do that. But I think it's just a matter of that two-way communication, explaining to them. We have a lot of consumer data, a lot of market intelligence, about what's going on in the marketplace today, and transferring that back to producers. And my experience has found that you just laid out, beef producers are smart. They understand data. They understand the facts. And if you give them the facts, they're on board. And so that's another challenge. We just have to continue to interpret what's going on in the marketplace today and make sure that those market signals are being sent from the consumer all the way back to the cow-calf or the seed stock producer, because it needs to be all one continuous chain and production process.
One last question, as far as you mentioned international as well as domestic. Yeah. When you think about that international marketplace, I know that we've heard a lot down through the years of the need for more traceability, a way to give that international customer a little more of a pedigree of what their beef is all about. Is there a way to do that in today's environment, you think?
I think so. I mean, there's certainly the beef industry still is a supply and demand industry. And so if there were an international country that demanded or wanted to have more information, I think the industry is in better position today to do that. There's a lot of companies that are already moving towards that, who are working with producers on producing to a specification. So I think we're closer and able to respond to that today than maybe we were 20 years ago. But that is something that I think our membership, and certainly at the those who are looking at the long-range plan for the beef industry, are aware of that very real possibility. And what do we need to do as an industry, both checkoff-funded and non-checkoff-funded, to be prepared for that? So I think you'll see more studies being done looking at the economic impact of something like that. And again, as I said before, I think if a beef producer sees what the economic impact would be of responding to a market signal or not responding to a market signal, then they make a decision pretty quickly. But it's a big conversation, and I think that that's probably something to keep an eye out for as we go the next couple of years, as some of these new markets open up for us.
Of course, the international market is very important to our U.S. producer.
It's extremely important to us, and I think that as all of us who are working in the beef industry trying to figure out what that international market's going to look like going forward under the new regulatory structure and the new administration that we have. It is where, beef demand is very high. Beef is still a very popular protein. We pretty much have a market saturation here. In order for us to grow, it is going to be beyond our borders. So we do need to make sure that we have strong regulatory structure that supports that and gives us access to those markets. And there's a lot of people working on that, and hopefully we'll continue to have success in the international market that we've seen in the past. Mm-hmm.